is the purpose of life? Okay, they've been recorded. Good. Okay. Let's see if we can get this to work. There we go. We've got the right date. We've had the right reading. Lovely. The purpose of life. We've all got life, which is quite an obvious statement. We've all been born, and we have an existence. We've lived so many years, and why were we born is a question that people ask. What, you know, the chances that we've come into existence, naturally speaking, are amazing, but we are here. But what is the purpose of life? All new life, especially when a new child arrives, people think, right, this is a new child, this is wonderful, this bundle of life, all sorts of toil and trouble and things are ahead of the parents, little do they know. But this is a new life. Here is a new life. And what is the purpose of that life? What is the purpose of our lives? It's amazing, really, that we can think of that. We all hope that our lives will have some meaning. Though most people are really searching for the purpose in their lives, aren't they? If we think about all the things that people do to try and find a purpose in life, some will perhaps look in the world of work and see a career as a choice that they can make a difference in the world, and that their life will mean something to them in the fact of the job that they've chosen or the career path that they've decided to take. That could be one aspect in which people look at. Perhaps household chores. I don't know whether you've ever thought about that, but the daily round, the common task, to fulfil those duties. Sometimes some people, amazingly, find great joy in having the tidiest, cleanest, most beautiful house in the world, and that seems to be an end in itself. We have a fridge magnet at home that says a tidy home is a sign of a wasted life, but that's just us. Some people will find an answer to life in those sorts of things. And of course, leisure activities, here particularly in the world in which we live, in the UK, even now, with all the things that are going on, we have time for leisure activities such as never before, gardening or hiking and walking, and getting out into the countryside or enjoying the hobbies and pleasures of life. We have a great privilege in those things, but is that a purpose? Is that an end in itself? Well, some people would seem to think, what's the next holiday? What's the next thing we're going to do? What's the next outing that we have? These are things that people look at for an understanding to their lives. Now, Aristotle, who lived a long, long time ago, was a great philosopher, according to mankind, and he says in his work on metaphysics, all men by nature desire to know. And human beings, unlike any other creature, have this capacity to say, well, why am I here? You don't find monkeys saying, why am I here? You don't find whales or other animals or insects thinking, why am I here? Human beings are the only part of this world that sort of deign to try and know this. Now, the well-known physicist, Makio Kaku, have you ever heard of him? No. It said that in the book, he was a well-known physicist, but he is a physicist, I've looked him up, and he's quite a clever character. He says that sitting on your shoulders is the most complex object known in the known universe. And that, of course, is your brain. Human brains are just absolutely amazing. We know so little about our human brain. We think that science and medicine know a lot about our brain, and they do, and it is amazing what they can do. But still, the capacity and the way in which the brain functions and its full understanding is, we know about 4 or 5%. It is an amazing thing, and there's a little diagram there of a human brain, of all the different aspects of parts of our brain that do things. And the only time we really begin to sort of think about our brains, or perhaps other people think about our brains, is when they go wrong. It's as we get older and perhaps things start to go wrong, or we have a stroke or something like that, we suddenly realise what an amazing thing our brain has been all our lives. But that's the fact that we have these things, we have this brain. We can ponder an existence outside ourselves. That's something that other animals cannot do. So where can we find meaning, not just for everyday things of life, but for the real purpose of life itself? And there are so many opinions that are offered If you look up on the internet, I don't advise you to do it, but it's quite an interesting and humorous experience to do. If you look about what is the purpose of life, if you just type that in, you will get all sorts of different answers. And here's just a few. The Dalai Lama, the purpose of life is to be happy. Well, I can't disagree with that. Sounds a good idea to me. The purpose of life is to make a difference. The purpose of life is to discover your surroundings, discover yourself, take what you've learned, follow your heart and evolve spiritually. There's a whole host of different ideas. Some of them are quite laudable, other them are totally strange and off the wall. You can't really begin to see where they're coming from. Especially that last one. I believe it's become the greatest version of yourself. Although I didn't know you had different versions, but there you are. Or that one down there at the bottom right hand side, to understand what is really isn't. Okay? Well, there's some strange ideas there about what men think is the purpose of life. So, when we try to find answers to huge questions like this, we run into our natural limitations as human beings, set by our perspective that we are creatures of dust upon a planet in a vast universe, and we're trying to understand the whole of the universe and the whole of the understanding of things by observation. And there are limitations to science. You might not think so by listening to what scientists sometimes say, not all scientists, but some of them. The simple conceptual view of particle physics has been abandoned as a complete explanation of our universe. Did you know that? Well, I don't really know what the concept of particle physics is, but I'm understanding that there is something bigger than that that they've discovered. It's now believed that the universe is composed of approximately 73% dark energy, 23% dark matter, 4% energy and atoms. Now, our limitation is that what this is saying to us, that the whole of the world that we experience, the world here, the Earth, the stars, the planets, the things that we can see with our telescopes and see with our fantastic telescopes that they've just launched to do a 3D vision of the cosmos, it's all that 4% of energy and atoms. That's all that we can observe scientifically. 73% and 23% is dark matter. The universe is held together by things that people don't understand. Scientists do not understand. And that's one reason that, if you saw it yesterday, that they've launched this next satellite to try and discover what these things are. Quantum theory has shown that we actually know very little about the universe. Now, you wouldn't believe that, would you, to hear scientists talk? They know everything. Also, they would have us believe. Or they don't know everything, but they know an awful lot. That's the limitations of science. We can find a lot about the world we live through science, but it cannot, as some claim, give us all the answers. It's about asking the right questions when we're talking in terms of the purpose of life. Now we come to Aunt Betty's cake, of course. Aunt Betty has made a cake. And the scientists will look at this cake, if you gave it to them, and they will be able to analyse it. They will say, well, when this cake was mixed together, there were chemical reactions that happened within the fat and within the flour. When you put it into the oven, other chemical reactions happened, and physical things changed, and they'll give you reasons why the currants burnt, and why the cherry sank to the bottom of the cake, and all the other reasons about how this cake was made. Absolutely amazing what they can tell you about this cake. But there is one thing that they can't tell you. The one thing they can't tell you is why. Why did Auntie Betty make the cake? They're asking the wrong question. Not how, why. And that is to do with the purpose of life, isn't it? It's the why we're asking. And really, when we look at science, it can tell us some of the answers to these things, but not it tells us the how, but not the why. It's the idea of the sort of restrictions that we have, the limitations that we have in our perspective, isn't it? Two goldfish here in a bowl, it's perfectly obvious, nothing exists outside the bowl. Just think about it. Have you experienced anything else? We're limited by our experience. even the vast experience that we now have in this modern 2023, we have an experience of life that gives us a good vision of all sorts of things, but it's within a goldfish bowl. You might see perhaps from the goldfish bowl the window outside, and you might see a little vision into the street, but you can't see any further than that because of the limitations of human beings living on the planet in a vast and huge universe. So is there anything beyond the goldfish bowl? Isaiah chapter 58. Here is someone who is giving us a vision from outside of the goldfish bowl, if you like. Here is an outside, bigger source. Here is the Lord God, as it's claimed in his word, that created this universe. Now, to create something, you've got to be bigger than it. A pot can't create itself. It has to be created by a potter with a vision of how that pot is made. And that's exactly what God is saying to us in his word. I made this world. I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you what is beyond your understanding. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. So here's someone who is giving us a vision outside of the enclosed place in which we're trying to understand why we are here. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here is a creator, of course, who is outside of the science of our world, of our universe. He created that universe. He knows all about dark matter and dark energy. That's what he's used to hold this universe together. Without that dark matter, without that dark energy, the whole universe would have expanded and blown long, long ago. There's not enough mass in the universe, in the galaxies, for example, to hold it all together. So this is an entity that is outside these things and saying, look, I know more than you do. And that's what we need to understand life. What is the purpose of life, of your life, according to God's word? 1 Corinthians, let's see what the apostle here writes about. In the 1 Corinthians, in the very first chapter of Corinthians, we'll have a look at what God's word said. Here is the author and the creator of this world. He's starting to talk to us in his revealed word. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is God saying to us, well, look, you want to find a purpose in life? It's here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So God's saying, well, your wisdom's just nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So what he's saying is here that men are foolishly content with looking at the world that they can observe. And they think, well, what God says, it doesn't matter. We'll understand the world. We'll understand how we are made. The pot is saying, well, I will understand how I'm made. The clay is saying, I will understand what my purpose is. Well, when you think about it, that's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? That's just the stupid. And it continues in verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. The wise in this world will laugh at the things of God. Which is really sad. Which is really sad because in this word is revealed to us the purpose of our lives. So is there a case for pursuing happiness? Is it wrong to go after happiness in this life now? And that's why we read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, very briefly. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 is written by the wisest man that ever lived, perhaps from the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Solomon, he was a very wise man, and he was given that wisdom to rule his people. But when we come to see what he has to write in Ecclesiastes, we begin to understand what he's saying about life. And he has this great observation of life here in chapter 2. He says, go to now, I'll prove you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, that's also in vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad, and of mirth, what doth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. What's the purpose of men's lives, he says? And he goes through a whole list of things with the great wealth that he had. He had singers, he had great musicians coming together, he had the Glastonbury of his life, if you like. He could get anybody, he could have any music he wanted, he could have servants, he could have build gardens. Gardening, what a wonderful thing gardening is today, isn't it? It's the great, if you want a TV program, switch it on, there's a gardening program. It used to be cooking, but now it's gardening. And we see those sorts of things are the centre of, he made those the important things to do, and he built great things. But what was his conclusion there in verse 10? And whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. He went into everything. He went to see all sorts of things. My heart rejoiced for all my labour, and this was my portion in all my labour. He quite liked doing those things. But when he stood back, when he stopped, at the end of the day, he looked on the works his hand had made and wrought, and all on the labour that I'd laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. Like the wind, it says in the verse that was read. There was no profit under the sun. There was nothing in it. Seeking after all these things ended in vanity, ended in emptiness. That was the purpose that men had without God. So what's the purpose, God's purpose for life? We say that God created the world. God created man in his own image. That's why our brains are different. That's why we are different to all the rest of creation, because God made us similar to him, similar to the Elohim, similar to the mighty ones of God. And he made male and female. And God blessed and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That's the purpose that God gave to man in the beginning, was to have dominion over this wonderful earth, to enjoy this wonderful earth that he's made. And how much do we see today that people say, oh, we have to have mindfulness, okay? We have to go out into nature. Well, that's because that's built into us. To appreciate the creation that God has made. The sad thing is that nobody appreciates the Creator. Nobody understands, or very few understand, that this is a creation. This has been made. The miracle of creation is there for all to see, and nobody sees the miracle. It just happened. Goodness me. Such blindness has come upon men. That's the sadness about this thing. But God made it, and he made it to be enjoyed by his creation, the top of his creation, mankind. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, he says, thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, and that's a phrase that goes right through way through the Bible. God says, go back to creation, start there, and then you'll find purpose in your life. Once you understand that God created this world, you will want to look into why. And God himself that formed the earth and made it, he's established it, he created it not in vain, not like Solomon, who found all he found was vanity. God's purpose is not vanity. He formed it to be inhabited. He wanted it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there's none else. That's what God's purpose was. He created this world to be inhabited by people who would enjoy that creation. Furthermore, God reveals to us that in Numbers 14:21, as truly as I live, all the earth should be filled with the glory of the Lord. And isn't that wonderful? That's what the purpose of life is, as far as God is concerned, that it might be filled with his glory. His glory. Now we look at the creation around us, and once we understand there is a creator, we can begin to see the glory of God. But sadly, we see that there's things in there that don't give glory to God. Namely, mankind. In Habakkuk 2 verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that's the key, the knowledge of the Lord. That's when this earth will be full of glory. And sadly at the moment, the knowledge of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord is very sadly lacking in the vast majority of the population. That's what God wants us to understand from his word, the revelation that's in here, that tells us why we're here, what life is all about, and what the purpose of God for is for life. The problem is mankind. The problem was God revealed in God reveals in His Word that the wages of sin is death. The problem is that men are the only part of God's creation really that doesn't give Him glory. They turned away from God. They wanted to not know about what God wanted, to do their own thing. We read about it right back in the beginning. It's the basis of the whole of the problem, that men have walked away from God. And the Bible terms it as sin. And the wages, the thing you earn from that is death. That is why our lives are lived and we die, because we sin. That's the problem. But God has provided a solution, of course. God is going to accomplish His purpose, whatever. And He's offered to all of us a salvation. The gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in a nutshell, that's the good news. That's what God has done. He has provided a way of salvation for men to begin to understand Him, to begin to understand His plan and His purpose by giving the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of Jesus Christ, the most well-known verse in the Bible perhaps. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish. And the word perish there in the Old Testament, in the Authorized Version, means die forever. So the thought that we live and enjoy our life now and then die and go to oblivion is not what God intends. For those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not die forever, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. That's the promise of God. That's the purpose of God. For God sent not His world into the Son to His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. An offer of salvation. That's what the purpose of life is about. Now is an opportunity to live for God, to live for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take the offer that God has made of eternal life. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. Because we read here in 2 Corinthians 5 that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. God is prepared to turn us around to Him, to be acceptable to Him, to cover the sin that leads us to eternal death, and to give us life. He's given us that ministry of reconciliation. So that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses, not saying, well, they've sinned, they've sinned. He doesn't want to condemn the world. He wants an opportunity for men to respond to Him. And has committed us to the word of reconciliation. This is the word. This is how we can be reconciled to God, the great Creator. Although man has fallen away from God, here is an opportunity for men to come back to God, to be reconciled. And God is some might say, well, if God's doing that, He's not doing a very good job, because the world is in a terrible, terrible state. But we have to look at it, the obverse of that is that God is still giving people an opportunity to come to Him. Today is the day of opportunity. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. He's not saying, well, I'm not too bothered about whether I bring this back, as men count slackness. He's long-suffering to us. He's waiting for us to turn to Him. Even to those of us who've been baptised, He's waiting for us, some of us, to repent still. Because we've got to not just be baptised, we have to live that life. And that we all come to that repentance. It's a thing that we should be concentrating all of our lives on, is coming to understand God and the purpose that God has, and with each of us in our individual lives also. Are we living towards God? It's a huge question, isn't it? He's not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any man should perish, but if they ignore Him, they will. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed to us. What the apostle writing to the Romans here is saying, that it's not an easy path. Don't think that turning to God is going to be an easy path. It's something that we have to stand separate from the world on a lot of things. The understanding of the world and the thinking of the world. And that will put us into conflict with the world. But it's nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. For this creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for this moment. We only have to look around the world today to see how the creation is groaning, how the creation is struggling with the rule of man and the misrule of man. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. There is a hope, there is a purpose. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage of corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The whole of the purpose of God is not just with mankind, it's with the whole of the earth that God has made. That's where the kingdom is to be. That's where the purpose of God is to be established, with men that will live forever upon the earth, on a beautified earth that is free from the ravages of man's rule. The whole of man's rule. Not just the destruction of the planet, but the destruction of people and of wars and of the problems that are in this life. That's the purpose of God. That's the whole purpose of God, to bring about his creation. And he's saying that really it's now it's like a birth of a new child. We wait for that adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our bodies. It's the same message, you see how it goes all the way through. It's that living forever, that redemption of life, that salvation that is offered in the Bible. And that's a purpose for life. That's why we are here, to give glory to God now and in his mercy in the ages to come. And this is the hope that we can be saved too, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and we live our lives according to his word, or we try as best as we can. So it's that perspective question again. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rusteth corrupts and thieves break through and steal. If that's all your purpose is, that's all you're going to be worried about, is what's going to happen to the things that you have, or the life that you have, because that will come to an end. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Something that is beyond the problems and the difficulties and the misunderstandings of this life. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And this is all about repositioning our hearts, isn't it? At the seat of our desires. The seat of our desires. Are we looking at this world now and all the wonderful things in certain quarters that we can have, or are we looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking to God and the hope that he has given to us, the treasure that he has offered to each of us? And Ecclesiastes ends with these words. The wise man at the very end of his writings puts, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's the summary of living our lives in the purpose of God. Actually, the Young's literal translation has, the end of the whole matter, let us hear. Fear God, keep his commands, for this is the whole of man. That is what man was made for. To listen to God. To obey him. And God has given us that free will to do that. We can ignore God, but we do so at our utmost peril. What we need to do is turn to God, keep his commands. We find about his commands here in his word, and that's the whole of man. That will make us whole. That is the whole purpose of God. And it's perhaps summed up in that most famous verse. This is how God has done it. He has given his son as a covering for sin, that greatest gift of God. That truly is the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's hope that gives you some perspective on what the purpose of life is. Thanks for listening.